my mouth.
No, what am I saying?
What, this? It's nothing. Really, it's nothing, Ed. It's just, it's just Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Have a good time. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
Okay, you little bastards. The time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's go.
Yeah, hitch your horse to this cart. Right, it's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We've got places to go, things to talk about, things to listen to. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, get this harness to a horse. I'm sick of my family being tied to horses, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's always been your thing, you know, a harness like you put on a horse. Like, you've always had to say that, yeah?
Yes, I've said it a zillion times. I got it from my dad, but it does make a lot of sense. Because I don't know why people think my last name must be something else, because it's already a word.
A lot of people pronounce it harness. I mean, a lot of people say that.
And I hate that, so don't do that crap. And I don't like my first name either. So, you know, I like the last name Harness, and most people call me Harness. But Steve, what a boring name.
Oh, you're really unhappy with it.
Oh, I was abin. That's why I always loved growing up. Everyone called me Harness. Moved to Seattle, all you guys. I never told anyone. Growing up, nobody called me Steve. I was Harness throughout my school years. When I played in the rock band, I was Harness only on the liner notes. When I moved to Seattle, you guys all started calling me Harness just naturally. Like, Steve is such a boring name. But I know it's part of the show name and our branding and all that, so I go with it.
Yeah. Well, you don't like Steven either, though.
No, Steven's even worse. And no offense, but you and I both have these, we're in this era of Steve and Nick and Gary and Bob, like just these generic, unexciting names that we're all now stuck with.
Oh, have you ever thought about if you could have named yourself, what you would name yourself?
Parker Harness.
Parker Harness. Oh, well, for obvious reasons. Yeah.
Right. It's Nick and Steve, the Vocal Minority. You can find the website, thevocalminority.net. And, you know, speaking of which, the buzz, the sticker that's up behind my head here, the radio station we were on in Seattle.
Radio for guys.
Yes. We were on one station with only like five local talk shows. Three hosts were named Steve.
Let's see. It was you. There was Steve Hill. And who else, dude?
Steve, the producer on BJ's show.
Yeah, that's true, dude.
So, yeah, it's just generic. Like, my son's name is Crosby. That's cool. My firstborn's name is Neo. Like, these are unique, cool names. I didn't name him Apple or something dumb, but something that's kind of unique, Crosby as a first name, I think it's pretty cool.
You know, my name was supposed to be Baloo. That's what my mother wanted to name me.
That's funny. From the Disney movie, right?
Yeah, from the Jungle Book, you know, she wanted to call me Baloo. And I always thought, oh, that would have been a great name. I would have been so much more exciting and interesting at parties and new events if I could have said, you know, I'm Baloo. It would have been a nice opening starter of conversation. So
yeah, Baloo Reynolds. Yeah, so there you go. But anyways, we're Nick and Steve. So.
Yeah. Hey, call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. We get into another compelling podcast. Welcome to it.
Welcome to it, indeed. And since I brought up my son Crosby, I do have a tie into a story that's going around certainly the country, maybe even planet Earth.
Oh, let's test this one out.
Testing?
Oh, hi, Crosby.
It's a very young Crosby right there. So I don't know if you're hip on this or not, but anarchy at Minecraft movie prompts police calls, age restrictions, and more is the headline on this story.
No, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you know what Minecraft is?
Yeah, it's a video game.
Yes. Are you aware there's a brand new movie starring Jack Black and Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
Called Minecraft.
Yeah.
So I wasn't hip on this until Crosby told me about it, but now it's all over the news. So I'll start with the news article here. Movie theaters across the country are trying to contend with pandemonium at screenings of the Minecraft movie. And while businesses have been happy to rack up all the ticket sales, some young viewers have reportedly been causing major chaos at the cinema.
Oh, really? Do tell.
Social media has been flush with examples of Minecraft mayhem, with dozens of videos capturing rowdy and mostly underage audiences, screaming, swearing, dancing, trashing theaters, and even launching fireworks indoor during the movie.
For what purpose? How does that tie into Minecraft?
Well, many of the viral clips show crowds going berserk during a scene where the game's coveted chicken jockey makes a cameo. The theatrical anarchy has prompted multiple theaters to issue warnings about the bad behavior, one New Jersey movie house even deciding to ban underage filmgoers without adult chaperones. So, as my teenage son explained to me, the trailers that came out ahead of time for this Minecraft movie have become memes in this sort of TikTok viral world. They've pulled certain quotes out of the movie and they've just been memeing these things left and right.
Okay.
And now that the movie's actually in theaters, when these memes come up in the movie, this chicken jockey thing, which I'm not even going to attempt to explain, is one of the big memes. And it's a scene in the movie where Jack Black or maybe Jason Momoa's character is riding this chicken in a boxing ring. And so whenever these memes that have become famous in the last month or two leading up to the movie, when they happen in the movie, all of these kids go crazy and start cheering and applauding and throwing popcorn. It's just it's pandemonium when these certain lines come out.
It sounds like a bunch of idiots, dude. I mean, right. How old are these? These are all minors, you said, mostly?
Yeah, teenagers. Right. Okay. And keep in mind, this is a movie made for teenagers. This is not a little Disney movie, but it's not a movie like adults should really just be going to. It's geared towards teens.
Okay. If I'm a father taking my kid to this movie, he's too young to see idiots like that, right?
Yes.
You know, so how do I enjoy the movie with my kid? Like, maybe it's not a bad idea that says, you know, this one, you got to have a parent with you or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little bit of catch-22. I don't know that we've seen something like this. Kind of reminds me like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where people show up in costume and are cheering and singing along or whatever. But this has gone to a whole new level. And when it first started on like opening weekend, it was really just people cheering and jumping up and maybe tossing popcorn in the air. This escalation of like fireworks or whatnot, obviously that's gone too far. I mean, that's completely illegal. And yeah, you can start a fire in a movie theater. The classic example, though, of free speech, you know, don't yell fire in a crowded theater unless there is a fire.
Yeah. Does Crosby want to take part in this behavior or how does he feel about it?
Well, so I took my son with some of his friends. I dropped him off. They all went and saw the movie alone. So it was just a bunch of 15-year-old dudes, high school freshmen or whatever, watching this. Now, going into the movie, I did not know that this was some sort of a TikTok trend. Crosby did know about it. So when these scenes came up, yeah, they started yelling and cheering. They were not lighting off fireworks or doing anything, you know, overtly illegal. But and he said the theater was full of teenagers that were clued into this and that, yeah, they all started cheering and screaming when these certain little phrases came out in the movie.
I'm fine with the cheering. Like, I'm, you know, that's fine, whatever, you know, like as long as you're not completely thrashing the theater or whatever. I mean, I guess it's kind of a known experience at this point that if you want to see this movie, like, yeah, look for the memes, like everyone cheers and gets excited or whatever. I guess I'm all right with that, but it's the throwing people and fireworks and yelling, right, cussing.
No, I would agree. Taking it to an illegal extent is way too far. So Crosby, though, told me a story on the way home that in retrospect, I wanted to go beat the living snot out of some guy because there was some adult male at this movie that my son was at sitting a few rows in front of him who was there with an adult woman, like they were a couple into their 30s or 40s that were at the Minecraft movie. They were, and the first question right there is, why is there an adult of that age even going to this movie, you know, period? That right there is a little suspect.
Two reasons, okay? Delayed mental growth or pedophilia, you know? I mean, right. One of the two.
I can predict who the guy voted for. I don't have any proof of it, but yes, to be mentally slow with your development and going to see Minecraft movies. So this guy started getting very annoyed with all the kids in the theater yelling and cheering. Now, again, I've been to movies where there's one person or one group that's being obnoxious, and they're worth the death stare, and they're worth even the, hey, come on, like we're all. But when the entire theater is going nuts, I think you have to realize you're not part of an experience that everyone else apparently is.
Well, that's where read the room comes from, right? I mean, you got to read the room, see where you're at. If you're in the wrong place, then you can leave. But I mean, if the room is doing this, read it.
Yes. So read the room. I don't know why you're there, but yeah, obviously you're missing a joke that everyone else is in on. But here's the thing that really pissed me off. When the movie was ending and the lights started coming up, this guy stood up, looked at my son and said, "You faggots need to knock it off." And stormed out of the theater. I would never use that word, but that is what he called these teenage kids that were cheering at the movie. He called them all the F word for gay people.
Enough said.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to knock that guy's block off. I mean, I don't condone violence, but wow, if you would have been there, it wouldn't have been a pretty situation.
No. And of all of the things you could call obnoxious teenagers, why go to that word? Why? What? That says something about that guy for sure.
Yeah, it's the mental slowness that we were talking about. He's a caveman, dude. And yeah, it says a lot about who he is and that he would talk to anyone that way, let alone children. You know, right. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he waited till the movie was over. He never went and got management or something and tried to do it the correct way. So he felt the urge, as the issue is now done, movie's over, you can just leave. He felt the need to turn around and antagonize these teenage boys. But he did it, yeah, with a derogatory word that had nothing to do with anything. And so, again, I'm pretty sure I know who that guy voted for.
Yeah. No, you do know who he voted for. It's not pretty sure. It's you know exactly who he voted for. Yeah. And what did Crosby do? First of all, if I was a kid Crosby's age, that would scare me a little bit that somebody yelled that to me as an adult. But did Crosby say anything back or?
No, apparently he and his buddies just sort of laughed and rolled their eyes at the guy because he turned around, said it, and was like starting to walk out. So I think my son correctly realized, just laugh at this idiot. There's no need to confront him, obviously. But yeah, I don't love to hear that my kid was in sort of contentious thing alone in a theater because some adult man decides he's going to go off on them instead of just going out and getting the manager or whatever.
Yeah, I know we are in a day and age of understaffed theaters and restaurants. Everyone seems to be understaffed for whatever reason. But it would seem to me that it would probably legally be a good idea to have somebody sitting in that movie, an usher, manager, whoever. Yeah. There should be an adult in the room that represents the movie theater. They know what's happening. So what, are they just closing a blind eye?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was opening weekend, so I think some of these theaters were slow to get clued in onto this viral trend going on.
Fair enough.
But again, it's kind of like when the Taylor Swift movie was in theaters. All of these teenage girls showed up and were singing along and dancing along. And some people got like, you know, we're in a movie. Shut the hell up. But it's kind of what that movie experience is. So when the whole theater's singing and dancing and you're the person sitting there upset, like, again, read the room. You might be missing part of this experience.
Yeah, no, 100%, dude. I experienced it at Dave concerts because a lot of the people in the crowd sing along at a Dave show. And sometimes, you know, if it's the wrong moment, like if Dave's on stage screaming his heart out or whatever, I get it. But if we're in a acoustic, solo, slow thing, like it's probably not the time. But it goes back to reading the room, dude, and what the majority rules, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I stumbled across an article this week. The headline is Rules of Gen Z Etiquette That Might Seem Rude at First. And both of my kids are on the tail end of Gen Z. So they are part of that world. And yeah, so I thought we would read through some of these things. Do these seem rude at first? Is there justification to it? And yelling at movies is not on the list, by the way.
As someone with no kids, I'm going to be real honest about if I think these are rude, okay?
All right, fair enough. So the first one on the list we'll talk about is ghosting as a norm. Ghosting, often seen as disrespectful, is a commonplace practice amongst Gen Z. And let me tell you, having been in the dating world of late, it goes beyond Gen Z. Ghosting has become a just accepted way to end a relationship. And again, ghosting is just vanishing. I just don't acknowledge you, won't reply to your text, won't answer your phone calls. Just you're gone. You're dead to me. Not even the basic level of civility to tell someone, hey, I'm over this. I'm going to unplug now.
I think it has completely leached its way into our society, in jobs, in relationships. I mean, ghosting has become a thing, and I do think it's rude. I also think it is, I don't think it helps you develop as a human being that can have tough conversations, right? Uh-huh. Because as we're going to need to do that at some point. So it's like the Dear John letter, I mean, is kind of old school ghosting, right? So, yeah, I think it's rude. I think it's wrong. And I think it sucks that kids are doing it for sure.
I actually think a Dear John letter would be one step above ghosting because at least you're telling them off. A Dear John letter is goodbye. I don't ever want to hear from you again. At least you've put that out there. Ghosting is just, who knows? Maybe they hated me. Maybe I did something. Maybe they met someone else. Maybe they got run over by a bus. You know, like, yeah,
it does leave you wondering. I mean, with a Dear John, you're right. It's one step above. You still don't get to respond and get your feelings out. But yeah, ghosting sucks, dude. I mean, have you been hurt by ghosting? Like, I know it's confused you in the past.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, there was some of that in the dating world. And I think ghosting is okay if you're being, like, cyber-bullied by someone or you've started an exchange and they're just being a racist or an a-hole. Then, yeah, okay, just disown them. But if you've established some sort of relationship with this person, if you've been out on a date or two, or it's a friend of yours from school, I think you owe everyone some sort of wrap-up to that, some closure. It's why you and I lamented with some of the women I had brief, you know, a month or two I was dating. I never ghosted any of them because I felt like they were entitled to hear from me that I am done with this. I'm moving on to someone else or this isn't going anywhere. Like, I felt very strongly I needed to give them that level of civility.
Yes. No. And it is. It's about having the hard conversations. We were ghosted 20 years ago, dude, to the highest degree, you know,
on the show,
on this show, dude. And you know what? It left me mentally fucked for a while to be ghosted like that and not given a proper explanation of why things had changed so quickly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe our bosses in Seattle actually started the ghosting back in the early 2000s. Because, yeah, Nick and I were doing this very show on the radio. And we were syndicated at one point. We were on a few markets. We gave those up to only work for this one market. And then, yeah, just one day it was just the radio station was gone. It took us hours in that day to figure out what was going on because no one had the courtesy to call us and tell us any of this. We knew they wouldn't do it ahead of time because that's radio. But once you've done it, now all of a sudden there's country music playing. Like, you got to call the people that work there and let them know you don't work here anymore.
Yeah. Have a conversation with people, dude. Ghosting sucks.
Yeah. And I will tell you, when I first met Kennedy, my now love of my life, we've been together over a year. She told me after our first date or two that her daughter, who at the time, I guess, was probably 20, said, you know, Mom, like, if this doesn't go well, just ghost the guy. Everyone does it. It's what the norm is. You don't need to worry about breaking up with him. Just vanish.
Wow. Wow. I don't think that that's right. No. Young Kennedy's daughter. I mean, but she's getting her direction from what's happening in culture right now. So, I mean, I can't blame her. But yeah, ghosting sucks, dude. It's not the good way to treat people that are, I mean, you don't even have to care about someone. It's just treating them well enough that to give them an explanation for what you're doing in your departing. You know?
And that's my point, by the way. Her daughter, to her, that's just normal. Like, this is an accepted thing.
Right.
So that's why she was telling Mom that. And this is part of the Gen Z etiquette that seems rude at first, and I would say is rude at second, third, and fifth glance. And I told Kennedy back then, like, for the love of God, like, if this doesn't work out, just even if it's just a text, which is still, I'm not a fan of ending a relationship over text, like, give me the courtesy of just an F you goodbye. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm sending the search party out for you.
And listen, dude, it's not, this is a thing that we ask for, and you have been we all have been told news before of a departure where it really left us stung, but at least we knew the truth, right? At least we knew why you were leaving, why what you were doing, why the relationship on any level was ending. Yep. And you need that to move forward. So
yeah, it's called closure, people. Look it up in a psychology book.
So. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. The next one that is a Gen Z norm that may seem rude at first, that I was literally just having a chat with my dad about the fact that this is normal and this is okay. Texting over calling. Gen Z prefers texting to calling, a shift driven by the desire for control over conversations. Texting allows for thought out responses, avoiding the pressure of immediate reactions. Now, on one level, this newer generation is paranoid of picking up a phone. You know, my firstborn Neo won't order a pizza because they're just God, it's so much pressure. I'm talking to them live on the phone. What if I say it's yeah. Like, geez, oh, Pete's. But this new era of texting over calling, I'm completely fine with. Completely fine with.
Well, you know, you're not. Not for all things. I mean, not for ghost, you know, as an alternative to ghosting. I mean, I know you're fine with it, but it's not the preferred method for you on everything, is it?
Not everything, but most things.
Sometimes you got to pick up a phone, right?
Sometimes.
Because you cannot get tone out of a text. There's been a million times that we've all experienced it, like, oh man, that was snarky, where I didn't hear that you said it with a smile or a chuckle or what, you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to pick up a phone, dude.
Yeah, but this article saying texting over calling, not texting exclusively instead of calling, texting only and never calling. Like, sure, there's some scenarios. But, you know, Kennedy and I, we communicate throughout the day, every day, but I rarely pick up a phone and call her. There's only been a few times where I'm like, hey, can we actually talk? Like, this thing going on, it's too much for texting.
Yeah.
But otherwise, texting's fine. And my dad is who was giving me a hard time about this because he does the classic texting etiquette violation that drives me nuts, where I will send him a text about something and then 5 seconds later my phone rings.
Right.
Like,
right.
Don't call me. I just started the text. If I wanted to talk to you, I would have just called you.
See?
But calling requires, hey, how you doing? How's it? Like, I have a question. I need an answer. That's all. I don't want the other fluff.
Yeah, but what if it's too much for him to text back?
I can't think of an example that I've opened a can of worms like that. It's just, hey, can you do this? What do you think of the, like, don't pick up a phone and call.
That's funny, dude. Yeah, I know there's been times you've texted me something and I've called after you sent it.
Well, you broke the rules. You're in the circle of trust where I know if you're calling me, there's got to be a valid reason.
Yeah.
And I'll give you credit if it's the old, like, I'm driving, it's easier to call you. Like, okay, I get that. But that is not what my dad does. And it's not what a lot of people do when they break that rule. They're just, I guess, old school or whatever. But no, texting is simpler. It's a question and an answer.
My mom does it a lot, too. And maybe it's just part of an older generation, but she'll usually text me back a couple of times and then call and be like, I figured I'd just call you because I have, you know, it's too much to put in a text. She does it quite frequently.
Was it really too much, though, for text?
Maybe for her. Yeah. Not for me, maybe, you know, but maybe it was for her.
Yeah. Listen, there are some exceptions, but as a general rule, I think texting is completely fine. And yeah, don't call me to give me a yes or no answer to whatever I texted you.
That's funny as shit, though, dude. I will start doing that. If you just need a yes or no, I will call you to tell you.
Yeah. My general rule of thumb is an email. If I send you an email, that's reply to me when you get around to it. If I text you, there's some level of urgency, like reply sooner than later. But if I need an answer, I will call you.
Yeah,
that implies urgency. But if you're calling me to say, hey, what time is that TV show on tonight? I could have responded 5 p.m.
Yeah,
call me.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
But I don't think we should be admonishing Gen Z over this one. I think it's a sign of the times. I think it's more effective communication. Although it is a little funny. Didn't we go from like the telegraph to phone calls? And that was a step up. Texting is basically the modern day telegraph.
There's nowhere else to go, right?
Yes. Seinfeld has a great bit about texting that it never occurred to me, where he was like, texting? Where'd this texting come from? I don't remember a commercial, you know, sign up for texting now. Like, he's right. It just was an option on early cell phones that they put in there for some unknown reason, and it just took over. Like, remember the first phones? You could only do one letter, or no, there was multiple letters per number. Yes. So you had to go to like A, scroll over to the B, and then and like, oh my gosh. But he's right. No one asked for texting. It just became a thing, and we all adopted it.
No, for sure. And texting was a bitch back then, by the way. You know, it was okay for yes or no's, but like texting beyond that was a pain in the ass. So
absolutely. All right. So next Gen Z thing that may seem rude, but is not. The use of slang and acronyms. And one of them, by the way, is FOMO on their list, Nick.
Oh, see, I keep up with the times, dude. And I will tell you that, you know what, I say, I think that you need to stay in the game. I don't think you need to necessarily talk, you know, that's bussing, let me check out your fit. Like, I don't think you need to do all that, but I think you need to know what they mean. When I was a young kid, I wanted people to know what things like, yeah, it's radical, you know, like all that kind of stuff that we said that was our slang. Like, I thought you were a pile of crap and too old if you didn't know what I was saying. So I feel like you have an obligation to understand people as much as you can anyway.
Yeah, I think it's the quickest way to make you sound like the old man on the porch screaming at the kids to get off your lawn. You're just like, I don't get these slang terms, you kids. Every generation has slang. We all used it. Yeah. So to admonish the new generation because you're not up on it just makes you look like the old man in the room.
Yep. We, you know, we talk about ageism on this show from time to time as we grow older. Some of the things that we see happening to us that didn't used to, like, these are the kind of things like AI, all the stuff you should keep up with, dude. It's an ever-changing, evolving world. And if you want to be in the past, that's one thing. But if you want to keep up with stuff, you got to stay in the game.
Yeah. And the use of acronyms, I mean, I guess thinking back in our youth, maybe we didn't have too many acronyms. I mean, MILF, that was a big one, I guess. But I think acronyms have become more common slang because of texting.
Yes.
That it's easier to text LOL or LFAO or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
BRB. Yeah, all this stuff, you know. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's a sign of the times. So, yeah, just get with it. I don't think it's rude. Every generation has done it.
Yes.
One of my favorite criticisms of our show back in those Seattle radio days, someone called us on the air and said, if the FCC bans the word dude, you guys will have no show.
Which, I mean, there's, I mean, and that's not true. But yes, we say dude a lot. And yeah, here's the thing, dude. If that's the rudest thing that kids are doing, like, I'll take it.
Exactly. And dude is an all-encompassing word. I think we're just being succinct with it.
Yeah, listen to our tone, dude.
Right.
Dude!
Exactly. Dude.
Come on.
Dude. The next one is prioritizing digital over face-to-face. Let me see what they mean by this. Digital interaction reigns supreme for Gen Z, often preferred over face-to-face meetings. This preference stems from growing up in a connected world where digital tools offer convenience and efficiency. Virtual communications allow for global connections. I mean, it's kind of like the texting versus calling thing.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, we have more video options, which was the future when we were kids, like the Jetsons, when we can all have video calls. Like, that is here. And I mean, it's hard often to go travel to talk to someone. So isn't video calling? It seems like the older generation try to have it both ways. If a phone call is preferred over texting, why is FaceTime not okay versus talking to someone in person?
Yeah, that's a solid point. I don't know how people could be down on it. I mean, it does open up our entire world. To think that you and I could do this podcast from, you know, 1,000 miles away from each other and be sitting in the same room, basically, is crazy. During COVID, we saw the economy continue to run globally, by the way. The family that we didn't get to see during COVID, like, we sure love those FaceTimes back then, you know, all that shit. So, yeah, I think some of this is fantastic. Yes, there's nothing that replaces one-on-one contact. But, yeah, this is fantastic, dude.
I agree. I think it's nice to be able to FaceTime my mom on the other side of the country at Christmas or whatever and show her the house. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's good stuff. And you're right. I mean, when we were doing the show back in the original Seattle days, when I first moved away from you, that was the end of the show. because there was no technology that allowed. I mean, there was, but it was very expensive and high end, like, where you could be in two remote studios and talk real time with each other. But yeah, thanks in part to COVID, that's part of the reason why the show is back, because the technology is so commonplace.
Yeah. Yeah, even then we still couldn't have seen each other, you know, to do a radio show. But yeah, so yeah, I think it's good technology.
Yeah. All right. The last one on my list I'll bring up here of Gen Z etiquette that might seem rude at first. Authenticity over formality. Gen Z values authenticity over formality, seeking genuine connections over rigid formalities. This generation appreciates transparency and sincerity, often seen in their candid social media presence. They challenge traditional norms, prioritizing realness in their interactions.
We all did that. We all did that to some degree. The next generation, you know, tested norms and carried forward. And as far as authenticity, I mean, we see that more now with even Trump. You know, that's why some of the kids voted for him in this latest election. They're like, he just says shit, you know. If you think about it, you know, obviously there is a place for decorum. There is a place for some more rigidity. But yeah, I connect with somebody more that is authentic, but there's a time and a place for it, you know.
Yeah, I think that would be my default. There are certainly times, yeah, business meetings, mixers, where it's the old, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Ah, the kids. Like, there are just formalities, but that I don't know what else to do. You can't walk them to a stranger at a mixer and be like, what's with this Trump idiot? Or, you know, like, I love the new Minecraft movie. I love throwing popcorn at the screen. Like, you know. So are they saying this new Gen Z, just they're right straightforward with their authenticity? I don't know that I've really noticed that.
Hey, just be who you are, you know, is what you just be authentically you, which is a great thing if you think about it. But there's certain scenarios that we have to switch it up a little bit. Sometimes you can't walk into certain rooms for certain reasons. And I can't walk in and I say, dude, fuck this. Screw that. You know, like, I have to have some decorum. I have to have some guidelines of polite communication, depending on the, you know, situation. So,
yeah, no, totally. I don't love it when I'm in a situation where someone's praising Trump and I just feel like this is not the time or the place. This is not the person to have this argument with. So I smile and nod my way out of those conversations. Like, I guess Gen Z would admonish me for that. But read the room, time and place. Like you just said, like, there are times, whether it's the mega person spouting some dumb thing or some liberal spouting their views, like, it's okay to let people have their opinion and two cents and move on. Yes. It's like commenting on social media. You don't have to comment on everything. You can keep scrolling. It's crazy. Yeah.
And let's not fall into the trap of I'm authentically me gives me the right to be an asshole and treat yes. people however I want. Like, I'm just being authentic, dude. Get on board.
I do hear that a lot. You're right. So does that mean you're authentically an asshole? Or, yeah, you right. just think telling it like it is somehow makes you bigger and better.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's problems with that. Like, I want everyone to live their authentic self, their authentic life. But it doesn't mean we don't have social guidelines in certain situations where you got to do things a little differently. It doesn't mean I got to walk into a bar with a bunch of Trump supporters and start using homophobic language and stuff like that. But, you just got to read the room a little bit, dude.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting joining in on it to fit in, but yeah, right. You don't have to fight the fight. You can just smile your way out of that conversation. And
yeah,
as you know, I'm a big fan of cop videos where they pull over entitled idiots. And I can't tell you how many of these things end with the cop telling his other cops, like, he's not even telling the person, like, I was just going to give him a verbal warning and they just my rights in this and I'm not getting out of the car. And now they're in handcuffs and going to jail. And I got all this paper. I was just going to let him off. Like, read the room. You don't have to fight for your rights in every situation. Sometimes see where the conversation's going before you make such a stink out of it.
Yeah, that's right. I heard a lady say, for people who are dating, this is just for instance, you should not judge whoever you've met as like a date for the first time. You should not judge them for the first 10 minutes because everybody needs a little bit of time to get to a comfort level where they can be more authentic and calm their nerves down a little bit. Same thing with those police things, dude. See where the officer's taking this one. You're assuming they're all exactly the same. So see where they're going with it, and it'll probably work out better for you.
Yeah, I completely concur.
I love it when you do. We don't argue often, Steve, but when we do, oof, those are some knockdown dragouts.
I don't even know the example you're referencing, other than the cat declawing.
Yeah, that's true. I was being facetious. 15 outdated social norms just popped up on my list, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I could tie a couple into this list of your Gen Zers. Is that who we were talking about?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All right. These are
social norms. I don't know a lot of them, so.
These are apparently social norms we should stop following.
Okay? Oh, good. I'm all for that.
First one on my list, social norms we should stop following. Dressing appropriately based on age. You want to know a little bit about why they say it?
Sure, because this is a sore subject with both Nick and I.
The idea that clothes have an expiration date based on age is outdated now. Who decides what's too young or too old for you? If someone in their 50 feels great wearing ripped jeans, or a 20-something loves classic cardigans, what's the problem? Fashion should be about confidence and personal style, not following pointless rules about what's appropriate.
Holla frickin' Luyah. I don't know what genius wrote this article, but yes. And I hope everyone in my life is tuning into this episode today because, yeah, from people I love and adore in my life, I occasionally get some level of grief over the way I dress. And I don't think there is an age limit on it. There's appropriate situations, work-related, blah, 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 blah. But yeah. Otherwise, at what age was I supposed to stop wearing flannels?
Well, there's a cutoff for flannels at, I think, 32. Oh, you stop wearing flannels at that point. But
I saw a great meme the other day that I felt like they were spying on you and I. It said something like, you know, these four things make you a Gen Xer. And it was smoking weed, listening to Pearl Jam, wearing flannels, and having opinions on everything. I'm like, well, that describes us and our show to a T.
Yeah. We're Gen Xers, dude. Listen, I will talk about my mother for a moment here because for all intent and purpose, she had a very successful marriage. She's a widowee, right? Or she would still be married. But I remember her telling me quite frequently as I was a younger man, Nick, pick your battles. You're going to have them in your relationships. Yes. So pick your battles. What really, truly matters? Does it matter that he's not spending time with you and his head's down in a screen all the time, or he's never present, or, hey, you know what? His dress is not necessarily my cup of tea. Like, right. Pick your battles.
Yeah. Listen, it's one thing if somebody's wearing a velour suit or bell bottom, like something that is just, that is completely out of date and no one should be wearing it. But, you know, flannels, ripped jeans, like, I don't know if they ever went out of style, but they certainly are back again. When I go to my kids' high school, I can't tell you how many kids are wearing Nirvana t-shirts or Pearl Jam, Led Zeppelin, Nine Inch Nails, The Doors, like, and they're wearing ripped jeans and flannels. And if you want to make the case that I shouldn't be dressing like a high school kid, like, maybe I'll accept that on some level. The problem is the high school kids are dressing like us.
Yeah, that's true, dude. Everything old is new again. And I'll push back a little bit. I don't demonish velour suits or bell bottoms. I don't care what you wear. If you feel comfortable in it and it is your style, you know, speaking of style, I remember the first time I saw Harry Styles and he was dressing very femininely, wearing pearls and stuff like that. I was like, huh. That's a fashion choice. And as I got to know him as an artist just a little bit, I was like, we did that same shit when I was playing rock and roll in my high school days. You know, everything happens in every generation, and you're only too old if you look down on it. You know,
yes.
Like, that's it.
Robert Smith in The Cure, he wore like black eyeliner, right?
Completely, dude. Yeah, I mean, everything old is new again. It all just comes back around. And it's not like I'm wearing a onesie to the office. You know what I mean? But if yes. I was, I guess that's a choice, dude. Like, we all have our choices. I remember being a huge thing when I was growing up that I really sat my parents down and I told them, I would like you to let me do my room decorate it how I would like to do it, because I want to be able to be in a space where it expresses what I think and how I feel and what I want. And when they finally did that, dude, I felt so much more at ease about my surroundings, and I was probably easier to be around. It's the same with dress, dude. When you put me in something that makes me self-conscious and I don't like the way I feel in it, I'm not the same person. Change the clothes, change the person.
You're correct. And, you know, the Robert Smith example I just gave is actually pretty low on the list. I mean, not only in that same era, the 80s, I mean, Poison or Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, all the big hair. But even going back to, like, you know, Freddie Mercury and Queen or David Bowie, like, they had a lot of feminine things. And they were doing it to be rebellious and push the limits.
Yes. Yeah. It's always been a thing. It'll continue to be a thing. We're just going through a list right now, dude. These are all outdated social norms we should stop following. Oh, this is a good one. Working yourself to exhaustion is a badge of honor. I want to know how you feel about this one, because a lot of the people, like in my wife's office, 10 years ago would be like, you're not here past nine. Like, you don't really love your job. You're not great at your job. And today, 10 years later, it's such a different story, dude. She'll get up and walk the halls and offices are empty at 4:30, sometimes earlier than that.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know if this makes us old or what, but I'm all for a work-life balance. And I can appreciate it, respect it, and all that, and it's fine. I'm also fine if somebody every 5 years is changing careers or jobs or whatever, but it still is a badge of honor in my mind to work yourself to exhaustion, to do the 10, 12-hour-plus days or whatever. Like, it can be detrimental to your health and relationships in a lot of ways, but yeah, there's some honor to that, that I am that into my job and I have that level of a work ethic that I'm going to come back and work late at night, or I'm going to work that extra day. Like, put aside whether that is healthy for you or not. It is a badge of honor and it does speak to your work ethic.
You don't want to feel lazy. Is that your concern?
I just am a fan of people that have careers and that want to be the best at it and want to strive to be bigger and better. So if I'm working hard and working long days like you and I have been forever and ever and ever, and especially of late, like, yeah, no, I think there's a badge of honor to that. It speaks to my work ethic, my integrity. Do I need to dial it back and not drive myself crazy? Yeah. That's a separate topic. But should I be proud that I want to work these long hours and get stuff done and put out a good product? Yes, I am proud of that.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. You know, what about your childhood, dude? I mean, your dad could have been around more. My dad could have been around more. Like, isn't there also some pride we could take in that?
Like I said, these are two different topics, and one is not right or wrong. When you work these long hours and pull long days, you should be proud of that. You do need to then find the work-life balance elsewhere in that work week. If you're always working 12-hour days, yeah, the cons are going to outweigh the pros in that scenario. You're going to go insane. You're going to die young, all of that kind of crap, for sure.
Right.
And I'll tell you, dude, I played – so funny, because this song came up on my Spotify list recently, and I was like, what the hell? So the Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin, right?
Yeah.
And I always thought it was Cat Stevens, just because Cats in the Cradle, Cats, like, nah. But Harry Chapin did that song originally. But as I've talked about on the show before, when I was in middle school and high school, I had no exposure to classic rock. I only knew what was current at that time. And there was a band called Ugly Kid Joe in the early 90s. Their big hit was I Hate Everything About You, which is a funny song. But their follow-up, they did a cover of Cats in the Cradle.
Okay.
I never knew the song. I thought it was their song. Thought it was a new thing. And when I was listening to that as a high school kid with a dad who worked way too much, boy, it hit hard. And so I was out visiting my dad. We were actually driving up to Lake Tahoe to go skiing. And I put that song on and was like, Dad, I think we should listen to this song.
Do you wanted him to be affected by it like you were?
Yes. I wanted him to hear it and go, I see the error of my ways. I need to spend more time with my son, or he's just going to grow up to be just like me. And his first comment was, I think this is an old song, actually. I was like, I don't think so, Dad. Ugly Kid Joe wrote this song. But he listened to the whole song and had no self-awareness whatsoever. It changed nothing. It affected him in no way. Oh.
So, isn't that funny, dude? That's a lost moment. I'm sorry for that.
Totally. But yeah, now that I'm a dad, I don't want my boy to grow up just like me. So I try to have more balance. And in some levels, it's why I think my career has been up and down. And if I had been a lawyer or a doctor, like, I would have made more money and all that. So I actually think I've done a decent job, compared to my dad at least, of having a work-life balance, but still having a strong work ethic and working some long days. But what I do is I work hard, go pick up the kids, we have dinner, they go do their thing, I stay up and I work. Like, I would never just be like, I'm skipping work, I'm not coming to your baseball game. Like, I would never do any of that crap.
Yeah. Yeah. You work hard, play hard, do the right things. And it's, well, we bring it back to balance, Stephen.
Yes. There you go.
Outdated social norms we should stop following. That's the list we're going over right now. This one I feel like has changed because of COVID for the most part. This is always greeting people with a handshake. That was big in my day, you know, or when we were growing up. And especially if you were meeting somebody you were trying to impress or show you cared about them or whatever. But the world has lost the ability for handshakes since COVID, I feel like.
It's an interesting point. I remember wondering during COVID, is like, this has to be the end of handshaking, because, you know, yeah, that was that was a no-no during that era. Yeah. And it's an interesting one, because I still, even post-COVID, I often will shake people's hands, because I just grew up that way and I was taught that that's, you know, the polite thing to do.
Right.
I also was told by Grandpa Harness when I was a young kid, something I've always remembered clearly, and I believe is true, that he told me that if you shake someone's hand and they do not look you in the eye, that person is up to something. Don't trust them.
Don't trust them, dude.
And I have found that to be true, that some people I've noticed that don't look me in the eye, they turn out to be shady.
Yeah. No, I think that is a very good way to tell if somebody is up to something shady, or just if they have low morals, they don't really care about why they're there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't look at you in the eye. Yeah. Handshaking, I always feel like now, because I miss handshaking, dude. You know, I think it's a great greet and a sign of respect, and, you know. Mm-hmm. But now sometimes I get weird eyes when I go in for the handshake. Do you?
I was just going to say the same thing. I've noticed that there's some people I put out my hand. I haven't had anyone reject me yet, but I get that initial of, like, they look at my hand and like, oh, like, ooh, this is weird. Like, I whipped my dick out or something.
You're so right, dude. And then you have people take it one step further, because the fist bump became the norm in the pandemic. But some people would do the chicken wing and, like, give you the elbow. And I'm just like, what are you doing, dude? Come on. We know enough about COVID now that, we can at least fist bump, bro.
Yeah. I tend to try to fist bump certain people in certain scenarios, because I always feel like when someone fist bumps me, that we're like cool guys. Like, we're in some little niche or club together. Like, oh, we're fist bumping. So I have started doing that with some people in substitute of the awkward handshake, but then to try to convey, like, hey, you and I are on a certain level, man. Fist bumping.
We got a bond going here, dude.
Good sales technique. I do it often with potential clients. And I'll tell you some other weird thing I developed since, like, 2015. Like, when I became a manager of a business and I had a lot of client meetings, I don't know if it was subliminal, like what my brain is short-circuiting, but I often miss when I go to shake someone's hand, or I awkwardly get too high up on their hand and have to pull back. And maybe I'm trying to make eye contact too prematurely, and I'm just not, I don't know what it is, but I become very bad at shaking hands, like physically bad at it.
Let me tell you, it's not you, it's them. It's not you, it's them. Somebody that's used to giving a solid, my word is my oak and all, you know, all that, is not going to do that. Mm-hmm. It is the other person that is sloppy with handshakes. And we don't know if we're doing the dead fish. We don't know if we're going in for the friend handshake or the, you know, sales handshake. What are we doing here? Yeah. It's not you that's clumsy about it, I guarantee, because I have the same thing, and I'm a great handshaker, dude. I will squeeze your hand just enough to let you know that, you know, things are tight, things are good. I'm not going to overly squeeze it to try and show you I got a big dick, and I'm not going to wet fish you.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Okay. Well, that makes you feel a little better. There's been a few times where I'm like, hold on, let's try that again, because it's so awkward.
Yes.
Like, this can't stand.
It is really, really awkward, dude. I know what you mean. These are outdated social norms we should stop following. This is an interesting one. Expecting women to take their husband's last names. I agree with this one. I don't think it's necessarily up to me for her to take my last name if she doesn't want to, you know?
Yeah. This is one of these things that when this concept first came up, I kind of resisted just because that's what we do. But when I started thinking about it more, like, it is a little weird that you're giving up your identity and taking mine. And so I'm okay if a woman says that they want to keep their name, especially if it's for professional reasons. That makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bad for divorced women. Kennedy is on the list, and even my ex, this was an issue for a while. Like, it sort of sucks for you that now we're divorced, but our kids have my last name.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. And some women, like Kennedy, have kept their husband's ex-husband's name, even though they're not thrilled with that guy, because they're like, well, it's my kid's last name, and that's weird that I would have a different name than my kids.
That's what my sister did. Yeah, that's what my sister did. I mean, she was... I don't know if forced is the right word, but she thought it was the right thing to do with the kids, too. That's always been their last name. So, yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with that. It was never a huge deal to me. I do feel like it's stripping someone of an identity that they may want. Like, for me to take that away from you, or expect it, rather, to be like, you will be a Reynolds now. Right. You prove your love to me. I don't think is right. My wife ended up kind of hyphenating her name. She hated her middle name. So she made her
middle name or her maiden name?
Well, she hated her middle name. So she made her maiden name her middle name. She changed it and used. So she is, you know, RTR now instead of just. So she still has some semblance of her last name.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think hyphenating is an acceptable compromise. What I do feel, though, is going too far is a guy that takes the woman's name. Like, if we're not doing this, one of us should be taking the other's name. I don't see the logic in flipping it completely against societal norms. And now I'm going to give up my name to make some symbolic gesture or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe it is symbolic. I don't know. It's funny that you say that, because why would it be different, really?
Because it's weird. That's why. Listen, if you're saying it's not cool for one person to take the other's name, then I don't know why you would go to the extreme just to try to make some sort of point that, hey, I'm okay with it. I'm willing to give up my name, but I don't get it. If I had a terrible last name, maybe I'd jump at the opportunity. My last name was Hitler. I would take my wife's name and run. But.
And there are people who want to divorce themselves from their family, you know, so they're happy to take on a new name. So, right. Yeah.
But you can also change your name legally at any time. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. These are outdated social norms we should stop following, according to this article. Judging people for living with their parents. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push back on this one a little bit. OK, I think there are certain scenarios that this is still acceptable in, which is if you are an older person taking care of an ailing parent, I think that's OK. If you are a younger person that is trying to figure some things out and you are below the age of 25 years old, I will give you some slack on it. Once you hit 25, if you're still living at home, in the same house, having dinner, it's just, get on with your life, dude. You got to become independent at some times. Failure to launch is a real thing.
Yeah. The other exception is cultural. There are cultures, Asian in particular, where that's just what they do. Latino families, a lot of them do too. So if that's your reason, then yeah, that's fine. And I agree. Yeah, certainly if elderly parents are moving into your house, you can take care of them. And yeah, figuring stuff out in your early 20s. You know, I mean, I moved out of the house immediately after high school. But a few years later, I went to broadcasting school, which is what led to all of this stuff. I apologize to the world. But when I went to broadcasting school, I moved into my mom's basement because I was going to school full time and working a job was tough. I still did work, by the way, but not enough to be paying rent and bills and everything on my own. So, but that was a very designated period of time. As soon as school was done, I was right the hell out of there. So, yeah, there's exceptions, but you know, in the episode we did that came out a few days ago, we talked about some people that were into their 30s and still sleeping with their parents, bathing with their parents and siblings and stuff, and living under the same roof. Like, none of that is cultural or figuring out your life or taking care of your parents. It's straight up weird. Get the hell out of the house and go live a life.
Yeah, no, that's I think you said it all right there. I mean, that is some weird shit, dude.
Yeah, we're not judging, but you're freaking weird, okay?
Yeah. Outdated social norms we should stop following. Viewing certain jobs as better than others. Let me read this because I don't even quite understand it. I have hard opinions on this. Society has treated office jobs as a gold standard of success for too long, while trade service work and creative careers get overlooked. All right, I don't have to read any further. I agree with that. We did do away with a lot of trades and kind of looked down at, like, well, if you can't get into school, you could be a tradesperson, you know?
Yes.
And it's messed our country up on a lot of levels. So, I don't think you should look down on anyone's job for any reason. But, yeah, I would say we should even this out. Like, it's an odd thing for me to go to one of my wife's things and talk to older people because they always ask me, oh, Nick, are you a lawyer, too? And I'm usually like, no, dude, I would never do this. Like, right. You know, I want nothing to do with this. But it almost does, like, you're not. You couldn't do that, huh? So what do? You know, it does seem to be a stereotype about that.
Yeah, no, there's a world of garbage there. I do not think of any job, including garbage man, that should be looked down upon. You know, I mean, I have been to many, many things, as you know, where in my dad's world, where he's this well-known surgeon who has saved lives and, you know, written books and spoken all over the world. And I'll be at one of these things. I was just at one, you know, I don't know, like a year ago in Vegas, where they're praising my dad up and down. And then they meet his kids. And what noble thing do you do? Are you a doctor? Right. Are you a lawyer? I'm like, no, I'm a radio DJ. I make jokes on the radio. And like, I feel like such a loser in comparison, but that's garbage. And the trades, especially, we have a lack of people that want to build houses or fix toilets. And I don't know what the stereotype is anymore, because I think it's very rewarding to work with your hands to create something or to fix something. Yeah. But also, you can make a lot of money in the trades. I know people around here that are making six figures and then some because they've been the plumber around here. And now they got 10 trucks out there working. They built an empire. Yeah. They're basically retired. And that has always been the dream, to like make enough money you can retire prematurely. So a lot of the trade people are doing it.
Yeah, I don't think we should look down on any job that is adding to our economy of people not trying to take advantage of systems and actually want to work and earn their keep and give back to the world in whatever way they're doing it. So, yeah, looking down on jobs, and especially why I would look down on a trades job as compared to an office job. I'm not a huge fan of office jobs, dude. I mean, come on. Anyone can get an office job.
Yeah, and I'm sick of people looking down their nose at fast food workers, by the way. Yeah. Like, are people lazy and mooching off the system, or are they working a freaking job, a hard job, where people demean them all the time, and they're in a hot, sweaty kitchen? And, you know, I had a friend that I had to basically disown on Facebook a few years ago that was on this tangent of, you know, McDonald's workers, they're going to make $15 an hour in California. Like, go get yourself a real job. Go to college and get a degree and earn more money. And this is from a kid that I knew growing up. And I know his parents paid for college. And my dad paid for my broadcasting school. Like, you're lucky if you can do that. But don't take that for granted, that just everyone could go to college and it's so easy to pay for and go get some high paying job. Like, the guys at McDonald's, the guys, girls, whatever age they are, they're working a hard job. And of course, they deserve to make minimum wage and a livable wage. So don't look down your freaking nose at them and treat them like scum of the earth.
Agreed. These are outdated social norms we should stop following. I'll give you this last one, Steve. How about this? Expecting men never to show their emotions. That was a generational thing. Men have been told, you know, be tough. Don't show your emotions. Never cry in front of anyone at all. I can't tell you how many people I know that, like, say, oh, I've only seen my dad cry once, or I've never seen my dad cry. How do you feel about it?
What age was your dad when he had his heart attack from stress and holding his emotions in for his whole life and all that garbage? Like, it's obviously ridiculous. You're a better man if you're in touch with your emotions and if you can be vulnerable and all that. And, you know, I mean, Kennedy, she has seen me cry once or twice when we're having an emotional topic come up. And the first time it happened, you know, there's some little voice in my head of like, oh, boy, am I looking weak now? Like, what's her opinion of a man crying? And she told me, like, I was with my husband for 20 something years, never saw that man cry once. And that was not a good thing. That was not a healthy thing. To see you be in a touch with your emotions enough that you're OK to shed a tear in front of me, like, it ingratiated me to her. Showing that vulnerability was a good thing. And obviously you get stress and anxiety off your chest that you don't bottle it all up.
Yeah, and a lot of the time it's just called empathy and compassion, you know, like it's yes. It's nothing to shy away from. And men were told that for far too long, and it still exists, obviously. That's why it's on the list. It's probably time to let it go. I'm not saying that you have to be a ball baby and always crying about something, but if there's something going on, like this is the way our DNA was made to work, like it's a release of sorts. So, yeah, don't fight that. That's stupid.
The one thing I will say, though, 9 times out of 10, don't cry at work. Like, yeah. I have been in too many scenarios where someone just, you call them out on their job or something, and they just start sobbing. And it would just be like if you called someone out and they just start swearing and yelling. Like, I don't think that's an appropriate emotional response to either yell and scream or to start sobbing.
I do understand that. I think there is a time and a place that it does happen, and it's not ideal. Have you ever cried at work?
The only time I can even think of was when I was out delivering pizzas and I found out that a dear family friend committed suicide. So I went back to the pizza place and was sobbing, and I went right to the boss. It was just like, I just found out a death in the family. Like, and he told me, get the hell out of here, please. Like, go deal with that. It was not him calling me out and not washing the dishes. And I started bawling. So, of course, there are exceptions. And there may be some emotional topic at work where I can understand it happening. But no, not because you messed up an HR rule or you didn't file the TPA report on time or TPS report on time. So, yeah, that's just, I don't care what your gender is. Keep it professional 9 times out of 10. Sure, there's an exception, but most of the time, suck it up, get out in the parking lot. Then you can bust in tears if you need to.
Yeah, hopefully. I cried. I don't want to give the impression that I like sobbed and bawled, but I teared up when I got let go from KBSG when we were in radio, just because it was something that I had worked so hard for. And the guy that was firing me was tearing up as he was firing me, which just added to this whole thing. But I'll never forget when I walked out of there, I was like, I can't believe I got fucking choked up. I cannot believe I got choked up at work.
Yeah, listen, man, that's an exit thing. Work is done now. You've just laid me off. So at that point, short of killing somebody, like any emotional response is fine. And firing someone directly impacts their lives in all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
So that's an end thing, yeah. But if you just got called out on not back announcing the Beach Boys correctly and you start crying and then like, suck it up, man, we're at work here.
Agreed, dude. That's a good way to put it. Well, another fantastic list that we are allowed to debate and spout our opinions. This is the Vocal Minority. Thanks for being a part of it. Call our comment line 844-48-VOCAL and see our socials.
Yeah, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Reddit, Blue Sky, and 10 others, I suppose. And you can find it all at our website, thevocalminority.net.
What up, players? It's your boy, M. You're listening to two of the dopest guys in the game, Nick and Steve, and the Vocal Minority. Stop worrying about mom's spaghetti and just make sure you're locked in every week. Peace, y'all.